It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May show. Thank you for joining me today. It's been almost a month since you have heard a show from me, and I want to thank you for waiting patiently, because I do want to do podcasts, because I don't want to leave my radio audience just hanging, because I love being in radio and doing radio, and I still work at the station. I just took a break from my program, as y'all know. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so by checking out my website, ambermayshow.com. There's a page there where you can find my blog. And I've been blogging a lot lately, and I'm hoping you guys have checked the blog out so you know what's been going on in my life. And I've had a lot of personal family things going on. I recently lost my 38-year-old uncle to cancer, and it's been very difficult because he's more like a brother than really an uncle. He's been around in my life as far as I can remember, and he wasn't that much older than me, so it was very difficult to lose him. And a lot of things have been going on with me through this, and faith has been a big issue. And my background is Southern Baptist, and as a Southern Baptist, we don't really practice the whole faith thing like some churches do. Like, Word of Faith is huge on really teaching their church how to practice their faith and to grow the measure of faith that God gave them. And I'm not saying that all Baptists don't use the measure of faith, but I don't think as a whole body, they don't really teach the believers how to build their faith muscle. And since I work at the radio station, I hear so many different ministers that come in, all kinds of denominations. I have Church of Christ, I have Word of Faith, I have Lutherans, you name it, I have it at my station. So I get to have the pleasure of looking at all the good that comes from all these different denominations. And I want to extract the best out of each. And so, as I was going through my hard time of losing my uncle, I wanted to put things into motion that I learned. And I know that the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that Jesus was teaching his disciples, I think it's in Luke or Mark, that if any of you tell this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say. Which I know the core of faith is to not doubt and have unbelief, because when you have doubt and unbelief come in, it negates the faith. It does not allow God to work through you, because you're now doubting and disbelief is sitting in instead of your faith in God, because God is the one who can do all. Because God says he can do all more and abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. And so I knew God could heal my uncle here on earth. And so I was praying over him and speaking life into him and speaking to the body. I learned that through the Word of Faith that you have to speak to the situation. But you can't just speak anything to the situation. You have to speak the Word of God to the situation. And God's will has to align with what you're saying. If you just speak because of what you want and it's not God's will, then it's not going to happen. So I was speaking the Word of God, and it is God's will that we have health. You can read different passages in the Bible, but, you know, James 5:14, if any of you are sick, let him come into the elders of the church and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. And if they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. So I know also, God wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And by his stripes, we are healed. So It's not God's will for any of us to be sick at all. It's not, and it's clear in the Bible, because he's not the author of sickness and disease. It's sin. That's the author of sickness and disease. God doesn't put sickness and disease on people, and God doesn't wish anyone to be sick, because that gets contrary against his word. Does it happen to people? Sure, we live in a fallen state. Did God allow Job to get sick? Sure, he did. Did he put it on him? No, that came from Satan. That came from sin. And because of that, the greater good came out of it. Because what does God say? He'll turn everything for the good of those who love him. And because Job went through all those trials and tribulations, we can look back on our own life and look at all the things he went through, and he still did not go against God, did not blaspheme God, did not turn his back on God. Because Job was the most righteous man out of everyone on the earth at that time. And God knew he could withstand it, because he won't give us more than what we could bear. And God knew that he could bear all this so that we can learn and benefit. Poor Job, I feel bad that he went through everything he went through. But because of what he went through, we can learn from him. And you know what? God increased him. And God gave him more than he ever had before. He lost his children. He lost his wife. He lost his health. He was a rich man and lost it. And then God gave him everything, because Satan didn't win. Satan wanted him to turn his back on God, but he wouldn't do it. So, does it happen to us? Sure, sickness does happen to us. And I'm going to read you what I wrote on my blog. And I said, faith is hard. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a very hard principle to practice. It does help to be in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. The Bible also says that God gives each person a measure of faith, and it takes exercising your faith to grow the measure of faith that God gives you. What is the definition of faith? Hebrew tells us faith is the things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. The people in the Bible who were healed from their infirmities had faith at least as small as a mustard seed for their healing to take place. You cannot have any doubt or unbelief in what your requests are. Jesus teaches his disciples that if any of you tell this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatever you say. If you've read any of the previous blogs I've had, you know that faith is something that I've been dealing with in my personal life. Faith is something I'm talking about right now. It's hard to think that it was hard for me to think about even doing a show while my uncle was on the brink of death, but I was believing in God for a miracle to take place. I know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and since he does not change, I know that God is in the healing business. People pray for healing like this: God, if it's your will, heal my brother. That's not the way to pray. God's will is that we all have health. There are multiple Bible verses I was telling you about that talks about this. And like I said, God doesn't create this. It's God's will to heal the sick. Otherwise, a woman with issue of blood would not have been healed, or the blind would not have had sight, or the lepers wouldn't have been freed from their sickness and disease. When we pray, we need to plead the blood of Jesus over the body and speak to the sickness to leave in Jesus' name. However, it's not easy to speak to a situation when the physical world around us says one thing and you see different results. It's very hard to exercise your faith when the doctors tell you your uncle is not getting better, but is getting worse. There's nothing more the doctors can do. And at this point, doubt usually lingers when you know that you cannot yourself heal anyone. It's hard for us to think that God would use us as an instrument of healing. It's not something that usually happens to us. Usually we go to the doctor, and then the doctor gives us some medication, and we feel better, and we're no longer sick. But when the doctors can't do any more, you know God is the only one who can help. Nobody doubts that God is able to heal, but we just start doubting if he will use us to heal someone, or if he will answer our prayers. It's easy to have faith for somebody else, but it's hard in your own personal life. You have to exercise the faith, at least in small ways, so that when the storm comes, you can stand and say to the storm, "Peace, be still." And that's why I love the Word of Faith churches, because they teach this to their congregation. I think that there needs to be a balance, though, because you get this idea that you're in control. You start thinking that you just have to say it and it's going to happen, but that's not true. God, you have to be in God's will. And also, suffering, not suffering, is in God's will. God doesn't want us to suffer. So I was trying to check myself to make sure doubt and unbelief didn't enter my mind. Because if doubt and unbelief are present, it will block my faith from activating. See, I understand that healing can also be in heaven. And if God took my uncle's life, which he did, he's healed. There's no sickness and no disease in heaven. But I was believing for a recovering on earth. But the Lord chose to take my uncle's life. And you would think I would have been angry at that, but I wasn't angry. Because when I really looked back, my prayer was selfish. It was just me wanting him to be here so I could talk to him, so I could hug him, so I could joke with him. But when I looked back on his real life, every time he had cancer, it came back stronger and worse than time before. My uncle's been battling cancer for 20 years. And if you can imagine the medical bills that come along with that, you could understand that he wouldn't have enough money to pay for all of his medical bills. And as such, he was losing his home while he was fighting cancer. For the sixth time, or the fifth time, his wife had left him, which hurt him inside. And because his organs started shutting down, if he would have got better, unless God would have given him a full recovery, everything would have been totally fine, he would not have been able to go to the bathroom like you and I. Because when the blood stops going to certain parts of the body, your organs start dying. And unless God was going to do something miraculous and heal his cancer and wake him up because he was sedated, he couldn't breathe, he was on a ventilator, and restore all of that. If God was going to do all that, then it would have been fine. But what about in a couple of years? Would God have cured him from the cancer completely, or would have come back? Would he have been happy knowing that his heart's broken? He has no house. What if God didn't heal him completely? What if his body still, some of his organs were dead? What kind of life would that have been for him? And I think God realized how much suffering he's done on this earth. Because, like I said, he's been battling cancer for 20 years, and he was only 19 when he got it the first time. And anyone who's had cancer, or known anyone who has had cancer, knows it doesn't feel very good to have cancer. You're tired. You're sick. You lose your hair. There's nothing good about cancer. And after the Lord took my uncle, after he didn't listen to me to heal him here on earth, God's will at that point was to heal him from any suffering. Because the Bible says, one day God's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. And he's going to take away any pain that we've ever suffered on this earth. That is also in God's will. Should I deny him that? Should I deny my uncle the opportunity to not have to suffer anymore? And to be in a place where he's loved all the time? And not have to feel rejected or hurt, not to have to feel sick or tired, not to have to suffer with cancer. Don't get me wrong, my heart's still broken. It's still broken. But this has taught me a lot about faith and about God's will, because it wasn't God's will for him to be sick. But most importantly, it wasn't God's will for him to suffer. And I really think truly that God didn't want to see him suffering anymore. I wanted him to come to a place where he's always loved and where he's always happy and when there's no pain. And to be honest with you, I'm looking for a place like that. I'm kind of tired of living this life here on earth because there is so much pain here. When you lose a loved one, your heart's broken. You're not going to see them for a long time. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or they did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never see them again. So the one reassuring thing I had is that he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's the only thing that takes you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me, through me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him will not die, but will have everlasting life. So my question to you is, do you know him? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Are you ready to go to heaven? And if God came back today in all of his glory, would he know you? And if you're unsure, even a little bit, there's one easy way to have 100% certainty that you will be ready to meet the holy, wonderful Father. And that's to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and he took away all your sins you would ever commit. Because Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. And if you don't believe me, I want you to go back to a few months ago, a program I did, and God the Father came on the program and he wanted to tell you how much he loved you, how much he thought about you. He said, my thoughts for you towards you are countless as the sands that are on the seashore. You can't count the grain of sand that's on the seashore. You can't count it. And that's how much he thinks about us. And that program is Inner Healing, I think, part one. Go back and listen to that. Or if you'd like, you can go onto my blog and you could see my blog where I said, to a beautiful uncle, rest in peace. And there's a link there. And it's a memorial that I made for him. But God the Father, I took that video, that audio clip when he came to the studio. And I put that towards his pictures. Because God was ready to take him home from not suffering. So if anyone of you who's ever had faith and believe for healing and someone said you didn't have enough faith, you tell them that's not true. You had enough faith, but we also have to remember that God doesn't want anyone to suffer, and that's in his will, that we shall not suffer. And God knew that my uncle would suffer on this earth, and he did not want to see him suffer anymore, and he took him. And when my uncle died, he had this big smile on his face, and he was so calm and peaceful. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I've been reading a book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and there was a pastor, and he died in a car accident. And immediately, he said, immediately he was in heaven. And at once he was greeted by all that he ever knew on earth that had died. And he said he felt so happy. And he just seemed to know everything. He didn't have to ask questions. It was like he already knew everything that was happening. But what he wanted most of all was to be in the presence of God. And he was trying to make his way to the throne room. But for some reason, it wasn't God's will for him to perish at that time. And he sent him back to the earth, maybe to tell us about his experience in heaven. It was a beautiful experience. It was my favorite book so far. I'm only halfway through it. But just to understand how beautiful and how lovely it is to be in heaven. He didn't want to come back on it. And actually, he was very angry with God for a long time because he just wanted to be with God. That's all he wanted to do when he got to heaven. And he said there was no pain at all. It was just love and happiness. And when the body dies, I've heard from a few people that have died for a few minutes, come back. The only thing your soul wants to do is go be with God. That's it. That's the only thing it wants to do. But if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to be able to be there. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How scary would that be? Because there's no second chances at that point. Here on earth, you have second chances, third, fourth, fifth, 20 chances, 100 million chances. But once you die and you don't know when you're going to die, my uncle did not know. He was supposed to get out of the hospital. And then all of a sudden he crashed. I was there in the room with him and they were prepping him to leave the hospital and then he crashed. He did not know. I did not know. No one knew that was his time. You can leave tomorrow and be driving on the road and something happens to you. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible never promises tomorrow, but we only have today. So faith, suffering, love, and a relationship with Jesus Christ is what I've learned during this whole ordeal with my uncle. My heart still is broken. And I start crying when I think about it. And I'm trying not to cry because I have this important message to give to you. Practice your faith. Speak to your situations. And learn how to pray, because even Jesus had to teach his disciples. When you pray, pray like this. If you know the prayer, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So I learned about faith. And I forgot in my selfish prayer of wanting to keep my uncle here that it was also God's will for him not to suffer. And frankly, I'm kind of jealous of him because I really am waiting for God to come back. I'm ready for him to come back. I don't like to suffer on this earth. But on the other hand, there is a lot of joy on this world. And that joy and happiness, I believe, is just a glimpse of what's to come in heaven. And it taught me also the value of people, because I always thought my uncle was so strong. He was a strong man, and he always had a positive outlook on his cancer, and he never complained about how much pain he was in or how bad he felt, and he kept conquering it over and over again. And I kept thinking, he's going to keep conquering it. And I wish I had more time with him. And I wish I said more things. If I would have known that the last time I talked to him would have been the last time I talked to him, I would have made it more valuable. But to think that he was going to come out the next day and I was going to go to his house. Makes you realize how important relationships are. And I have a song that I'd like you to listen to from Brad Paisley. It's Time Well Wasted, because it made me think about we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle, and sometimes we just have to have time well wasted with people we care about, with our children, with our loved ones, with our spouses, because you never know when your last will be your last. You never know the last conversation you have with someone will be the last, and you want it to be the best conversation that you could ever have with them. So listen to this song and remember, instead of thinking about just yourself, number one, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually somebody else will look out for you.
Could have been working overtime, or at home trying to make that truck run right. Instead of waiting out in that stream all day long, barely catching a thing, just me and Dad. I'm glad he talked me into that. It was time well wasted, and there's no way I'd trade more dollars in my pocket I could have spent for a day that I'll never forget. No, I didn't get a thing done, but I sure soaked up every minute of the memory we were making, and I count it all as time well. those leaves were a foot deep in the yard. And Wash Me was written all over the car. Watching movies all day with you wasn't on my list of things to do, but we laid on that couch. Girl, we never left the house. It was time well wasted, and there's no way I'd trade a few more things that I could have crossed off my list for a day that I'll never forget. No, I didn't get a thing done, but I sure soaked up every minute of the memory we were making. I count it all as time well wasted. This world spins too fast if you let. There's always one more thing to do. Looking back, I never have regretted taking off early, calling in sick, and loving away Sunday afternoon. It was time well wasted, and there's no way I'd trade a few more things that I could have crossed off my list for a day that I'll never forget. No, didn't get a thing done, but I sure soaked up